Test. Okay. Well, good morning. Morning. My name is Jim, and I'm sorry if I don't know all of your names. I'm really bad with names. You could tell me your name, and then 10 minutes later, I'll totally forget it. But I promise you, if you tell me your name after worship today, I will try really, really hard. I'll do whatever it takes to remember your name, okay? But this morning, we're here to worship in Christ's name. So let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we come to you to worship in your name. We are here this morning to glorify your name, to praise your name, and to learn more about your name. We know that our brothers and sisters in Montana, they are also worshiping you in your name this morning. And so we are with them in spirit. They are with us in spirit. And so I just pray that your Holy Spirit come and just teach us your word. Help us to worship in your word, Lord. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. What's in a name? That which we call a rose, by any other name, would smell as sweet. This is a quote from Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. It talks about two star-crossed lovers who couldn't be together because of their family names. Why are names so important to people? My wife and I were having our baby in about a month. And the first two things people always ask us is, do you know if it's a boy or a girl? Right, that's number one. And number two, do you have a name picked out yet? Names tell us a lot about a person, right? If you have a biblical name, usually that means you were born and raised in a Christian home, right? Names can be symbolic. They refer to the hopes and the dreams of the parents for their kids. And names can represent characters or virtues. If you name your daughter Faith, you would hope that she grows up to be faithful, right? Or if you name your daughter Grace, that she'd be grateful, or graceful. Joy would be joyous. Every name is unique and different. Each has a deep meaning. Sometimes people name their children after family members, relatives, maybe a grandparent. My wife and I, we are picking out our daughter's name. And we've been through thousands of names, like tons of baby books or, you know, entire websites devoted to picking out your baby name, right? They give meanings for each name, and maybe they'll list a couple of the famous people with the same name. You feel sort of a connection with people that have the same name as you, don't you? Kind of like, yeah, Jim, it's a good name, it's cool. Your name is not something that you choose. It's something that's given to you, and it stays with you for the rest of your life. But in some circumstances, you can change your name. A change in your name represents a turning point in your life. Maybe you move to a new country and you need to pick a name in that new language. Or when women get married, right, they change their last name to symbolize leaving and cleaving to their husband, a beginning of a new family. Or what about Abram and Sarai and Jacob? God gave them new names, Abraham, Sarah, and Israel. Names have power. They tell us a lot about a person. People know us by our names. And if they take away our names, they take away a bit of our identity, our humanity. Now imagine if we went around with just serial numbers, right? Hello, 51484. I'm 36412, right? It's not very personal. We don't feel very human that way. Names are a part of who we are. And in today's text, we will explore what the phrase "in Jesus' name" means. Hopefully we will see that we are empowered by Jesus' name, we are transformed by Jesus' names, and that we worship in Jesus' name. So please refer to your bulletin for the outline and for the text this morning, and let's read together our text from Acts 3. Verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3:00 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Verse 16. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. The word of the Lord. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at Acts as a continuation of Jesus' ministry, right? It was a sending forth of his disciples. Remember we used the term co-missioning? The mission was to be Jesus' witnesses in Jerusalem and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The mission was not for us to do it alone, but await the power of the Holy Spirit. As we look at our text today, we can see that two disciples, Peter and John, were empowered in Jesus' name. They were able to miraculously heal the paralyzed man. It was almost as amazing as Jesus' healing stories. Wow! Did they know they had this power? Could they do it again? What else could they do? In John 14:14, Jesus says, "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Anything? Really? Anything? In Jesus' name, please give me $1 million. Or in Jesus' name, please make me look like Brad Pitt. It's not working. But Lord, you said if you ask me anything in your name, you will do it, right? Does our story in Acts and this verse in John mean we could make God into a genie? Anything we say in his name, he must do? There are a lot of people that think this way, that somehow they can control God by saying the magic words in Jesus' name at the end of their prayers. They may not be praying for ridiculous things like lottery tickets or good looks, but it could be more subtle things. It could be things like grades, relationships, jobs, health. Do we pray selfishly in Jesus' name and expect him to give us everything we want? Because I have news for you. You're going to be disappointed. I've prayed for lots of things in my life. God answers, but not always in the way that I want. Does that mean we shouldn't pray? Does that mean there's no power in prayer? But you just said the disciples, they were empowered in Christ's name. They told that paralyzed man to get up, and it worked. Why can't we do that? Because God grants prayers that are in line with his will. Would you repeat that with me? God grants prayers that are in line with his will. Peter and John were empowered by the Holy Spirit to heal the paralyzed man because it would bring glory to God, because it would bring praise to God, and because it would bring others to faith. That's the first key to understanding the phrase, in Christ's name. Doing and saying things in Christ's name means we are submitting to his will, not ours. In Christ's name means do whatever it takes for Jesus' name to be glorified, not mine. These are the kinds of things that we can pray for with boldness. These are the kinds of things that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do, not get lottery tickets and good looks, not health and wealth. We need to align ourselves with God's mission of being his witnesses, of spreading the good news. This week, we have several brothers and sisters out on mission trips to different places. They are taking the gospel to the ends of the world. We can be sure that God will work miracles for them and through them. They are empowered in Jesus' name. We can be confident in praying for them, knowing that our prayers will be answered. They align with Jesus' name. You may ask me anything in my name, and I will do it. In my name means in my will. There was another man who did miracles. We might say he was the first person God empowered to work signs and wonders. This man, he turned his staff into a snake. He turned water into blood. He parted the Red Sea, and he saw God face to face. This man was a prophet delivering the word of God. Yeah, this was the most humble man on the face of the earth. Do you know who I'm talking about? Moses. Moses did these things because he was on a mission to deliver God's people from slavery and bring them to the promised land, just as God said he would. Moses didn't do whatever he wanted. Moses did whatever God needed him to do. Likewise, we are empowered in Jesus' name not to do whatever we want. We are empowered to do God's will, to do whatever God needs us to do. Doing and saying things in Christ's name means we are submitting ourselves to his will, not ours. Just as the Lord's Prayer says, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Names also carry respect and authority behind them. Now imagine if you were put in jail and you could pick between two lawyers. One graduated from Harvard Law, and the other got their degree from like an online community college or something. All right. All other things being equal, just knowing these two facts, which of the two lawyers would you pick? Why? Because of the name, right? Harvard Law designates a sense of prestige, of respect. We all know what Harvard stands for, and maybe famous alumni who have graduated from Harvard Law. Likewise, being in Christ's name means the one we serve, our master, our king, has great authority and power. Christ is not Jesus' last name. It is a title meaning anointed one, Messiah, the Savior. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's Jesus Christ. The world cannot deny that Jesus was the epitome of a loving, compassionate revolutionary who changed the world. No matter how badly people try to tear down and defame the name of Christ, the world cannot deny that for the most part, Christians stand for what is good, beautiful, and holy. The name of Christ carries respect and power. It draws on the character of our loving, compassionate God, and so we should walk in a loving, compassionate way. The world is watching us. We shouldn't be afraid of people seeing us live out our faith. In verse 4, Peter and John told the paralytic, "Look at us. What will the world see when they look at us? Will they see a bunch of people who hide at church singing songs? Or will they see people who are confident and empowered to spread the good news to a broken world? Look at us. Silver or gold, we do not have. But what we do have, we give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." We are pointing others to the one with true power. The second aspect of Christ's name we want to look at this morning is the transformative power that it has. In our story today, there are two sets of characters we can look at. On the one hand, we have the apostles, and on the other hand, we have the paralyzed man. And I submit to you that both of them experienced transformation. So let's first look at Peter and John and see how they were transformed. Just a few weeks ago at Easter, the disciples fled when their master was arrested. Every single one. They were cowards. Remember the story of Peter and how he denied Christ three times? This was just hours after he had told Jesus he was willing to follow him even unto death. And then he goes and denies his master to who? Do you remember? A little girl. The disciples were cowards. They fled the authorities. None of them stuck around. It wasn't even any of them who carried Jesus' cross. They ran for their lives. Yet in our text today, this morning, we see Peter and John transformed. They are no longer the cowards and deserters of their Lord. They are the empowered, transformed witnesses who are willing to die for their master. They are turned from just being disciples, which means followers, to apostles, literally meaning messengers. They've received a new name. Now, lots of times, critics of the Christian faith will say, the resurrection never happened. Jesus' disciples, they just made it up, or they were just fooled. Maybe they were stupid or something. Really? Really? These people who ran for their lives, hid in an upper room, not even willing to visit Jesus' tomb, they just fabricated this elaborate story of Jesus' resurrection, and now they are willing to die for that lie? Do you think they'd be stupid enough to die for a lie? Are you willing to die for something that you know is not true? This is what witness is all about. Being so utterly convinced of what you have seen and heard that you are willing to die for it. And not just die for it, to live for it. In Philippians 1:21, the Apostle Paul says, For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This is the transformative power of the gospel. It turns us from cowardly, broken people into bold, empowered witnesses in Christ's name. It turns us from people living for ourselves to people who will die for our faith. We don't believe in a lie. This is not just a fairy tale that's made up. We live the truth. We are willing to die for what we have seen and heard. We see that in Peter and John this morning. We see that in Jesus Christ at Easter. We see that in the Christian martyrs throughout history. And we see that in the underground churches in China today. We are Jesus' disciples, empowered, transformed by the same Spirit. We are also apostles sent to proclaim the good news. Things will never be the same when we have experienced the living Christ. We are transformed people in Jesus' name. In our story today, the apostles were not the only transformed people that we see. Who else was there? Well, the most obvious one, the paralytic. He gets up and walks. He's the miracle of the story, right? Verse 7, taking him by the right hand, Peter helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. The man jumped to his feet and began to walk. If this sounds familiar, it should, because we saw Jesus doing this very same thing in the Gospels. Remember the story of the paralytic who was let down through the roof? Or what about the healing at the pool of Bethesda? Pick up your mat and walk. Remember those? These weren't just everyday common occurrences. Hi, honey. What happened to you today? Oh, nothing. I just got healed. I'm able to walk again. No, these were transformative, life-changing events that turned everything around. From being a beggar on the street begging for compassion and alms to leaping and dancing, praising God. Talk about a 180. Imagine starting your day not being able to walk. Your family and friends, they don't even take care of you. They dump you at the temple gates so that you can beg for money. You're feeling sorry for yourself, questioning the goodness of God. How could God do this to you? Doesn't it say he cares about the poor? Does God even exist? Now imagine, by the end of your day, you are walking and jumping, praising and witnessing. You are not the same person anymore. Your entire world has changed. This is transformation. This is new life. You started the day just hoping to scrounge enough money to buy a meal, to fill your stomach. You ended the day completely restored in body, mind, and spirit. Sometimes God gives us not what we expect or what we pray for or even what we want. God gives us what we really need. Will you repeat this phrase with me? God gives us not what we want, but what we need. God gives us not what we want, but what we need. Listen to Peter again. Silver or gold, I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Brothers and sisters, be transformed. In Christ's name, walk in his path. The last aspect of Christ's name we will look at is worship. In our story, we see the paralyzed man jumping up and begin praising God in the temple. The natural response of his transformation is worship. What about yourself? What brings you to worship? What leaves you speechless or brings tears to your eyes? What would it take to literally make you jump for joy? What captures your heart and consumes your soul? I think in our postmodern internet age, we've become so jaded to many things. Nothing surprises us anymore. We've seen it all before. Been there, done that, no big deal. Is there anything left that you can say is truly awesome, that actually leaves you in awe? Whom or what do you worship? Or better yet, how do you worship? How do you sense the divine? Is it in songs of praise? Is it simply being in the stillness of nature? Are you most worshipful when you read the Bible? Or maybe in your quiet devotional time when you're just talking with the Lord? Worship is about proclaiming God worthy. It's about finding that way of experiencing God deeply, of giving yourself wholly to him, loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Worship is about glorifying his name. Hallowed be thy name. Now, isn't it funny how in our story, the main character, the one who's healed, his name is not even mentioned? Why? Because it's not important. Nobody cares. Why? Because it is Jesus' name that is important. When a church or a pastor cares more about getting their name known more than Jesus' name, you have a problem. Why? Because we, the church, we exist to glorify his name. Everything we do, everything we say, our lives, our witness ought to glorify his name. We need to point to Jesus. When people look at us, they should say, wow, there's something special about those Christians. I want what they've got. And this Jesus guy they worship, I want to get to know him too. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Did you catch that? Praise. That's what our lives are about, bringing God praise. Hallelujah in Hebrew means praise the Lord. Hallel in Hebrew means praise. The U makes it an imperative, and the Yah stands for Yahweh. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you say that with me? Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Verse 10 says, the people who saw were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to the man. Wonder and amazement. This paralyzed man not only praised God, he brought praise to God. That's what it means to worship in Christ's name. We praise God and we bring others to praise God. That's our goal. That's our mission. What does your life say about Jesus? Imagine if you had the word Christian tattooed on your forehead. Would you live the same way? Would you walk any differently? Talk any differently? Would it change the way you do your job? Would it change the way you acted in front of your non-Christian friends? Or would it affect the way you see yourself in the mirror every morning? If you are a Christian, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. It is like a mark, a tattoo on your forehead that says, property of Jesus Christ. You may try to hide it or deny it, but sooner or later, people will see it. And then the truth will come out. It always does. Do you live a worship-filled life? Not for the things God gives you, but for the person he is. Verse 10, they recognized him, as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Is this what people will say about you? Does your life bring wonder and amazement to people who look at you? What's in a name? I began the sermon with a quote from Romeo and Juliet. This quote captures the tension between the tension the characters feel between their identity and their names. For us Christians, being in Christ's name is an essential part of our identity. What's in Jesus' name? What does it mean? Why do we end all of our prayers in Jesus' name? I hope this morning you've been able to get a little better understanding of what that means. Three things. It means we are empowered by his name. We have been given the Holy Spirit to help us on our mission to spread the gospel from Jerusalem to Samaria to the ends of the earth. We don't do whatever we want. We do what God wills. Secondly, it means we are transformed by his name. We're turned from cowardly, broken disciples into bold, witnessing apostles, willing to live and die for our master. We're able to pick up our mat, get up and walk and go. Lastly, it means we worship in Jesus' name. We sing about him. We live like him. We are willing to die for him. We're not to be closet Christians. We're supposed to praise him loudly, jumping and dancing. We live our lives and bring others to awe and amazement. The best way to experience prayer and worship in Jesus' name is not to hear a sermon about it, but to do it. And so, I will cut my sermon short and we will do just that. We will pray and we will worship in Jesus' name together. Let's pray. Father, there is power in your name. We worship in your name and we are transformed and renewed in your name. Lord, I pray that this morning your name was glorified. Pray that this morning we got to understand a little bit more about what it means to be in your name. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.